You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is Mick and Christian once again. It is the Luton reaction show. It's one of them that Liverpool have been doing so well. So it's one of them that you don't really want to have to do because it feels a bit sore still to be discussing it. But it's one of them that you've got to do. You've got to talk it over and hopefully feel better and move onwards and upwards with Liverpool's season and get back on track, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. But before we get into it all, I am joined, like I said, by Christian, as always. And we'll ask Christian how he's doing and if he's feeling all right after the events that unfolded that kind of Worth Road.
Yeah, I'm all right, but it's obviously not as good as when we win, and we've been used to that lately and playing good as well. So that kind of result obviously takes it down a bit, but I'm still okay, and we will talk about the game, you know, and go through it, and I'll probably explain myself why I'm still feel okay about it, but obviously you always want to win, but yeah, it is the way it is with football sometimes,
unfortunately. So before we get into the events of the game and stuff, we might as well talk, like we always do, about the starting 11 first and foremost. So Liverpool went with Alisson in goal, Trent, Kanate, Van Dijk and Joe Gomez at left back, basically left centre back, the way Liverpool are playing. And then we had Gravenberch, McAllister and Szoboszlai. Jones missed out with a slight issue. I think he'll be back for Toulouse, hopefully. And then we had a front three of Salah, Nunes and Jota. It was, of course, Diaz plays a critical part in the game. He gets put on the bench. We have Ben Doak back on the bench as well. The bench is very decent as well when you look through it, like some players that are on there, Endo and Gakpo and Tsimikas, Matip and Kelleher and Kwanzaa. It was filled with decent players that we can call upon, and of course Diaz has, the like I said, the critical moment in the game towards the end. But was you happy with that 11? I was quite satisfied with it. I was made up more that we had people on the bench, like I said, with Doak and Diaz being back. And I thought the team that we've got put out, and I think we on paper means fuck all really, but like it looked like we should have enough for this game, and I felt like it was like a test for us, especially after the Bournemouth game, which we came through after with horrific conditions and changing the team again, changing a few more players. I did feel like going into this one, I felt optimistic that we would have enough. We knew what Luton were going to do, 10 men behind the ball, and I thought we'd have enough to not to be a comfortable winner, but to kind of get an early goal, and like we always say, then build on from that. But it just didn't kind of happen the way we wanted it to, really, on the day.
Yeah, when I saw the starting 11, I think I tweeted something about, you know, I was very pleased with the players coming out to start for us, because I think it's a very strong starting 11. I like the midfield of Szoboszlai, McAllister and Gravenberch, you know, obviously with Jones being out with some minor issue. You know, I think Gravenberch have shown that he's got quality, and we talked about it before. And I think, you know, you see him coming into midfield, it does give you a sense of, you know, belief and excitement and all that. And, you know, to see Darwin Núñez start as well together with Jota and Salah says, you know, that we've got the power up front to cause troubles as well. I think the only thing that we, you know, probably discuss here is Joe Gomez starting at left back. I think it's a good shout in one way, because, you know, Tsimikas haven't been that good, even though he's a natural left back. But I think the way we play with, you know, three at the back when Trent takes a step up in the midfield when attacking, I have kind of wait to see Joe Gomez go into that position, because we know that he has played left back before. He's a solid defender. I think that if he comes in more central, you know, the way we play, it probably gives us a little bit more, you know, a stable kind of, you know, with the three of Joe Gomez, Virgil van Dijk and Konate being a three centre-backs playing there, you know, good on the ball, physical, strong, quick. I think that's very solid as a defensive line. So when I saw that, I thought as well, like you said, you know, you can never say anything will be easy, but I thought, you know, we're giving them, you know, a great task here, because I think that team should, you know, go and win this game. I wouldn't say comfortably, but it should be, you know, 3 points, to be honest.
Yeah, and we can get stuck into the kind of rhythm of the game then, because we were talking about, before we started recording, about Darwin Núñez and how he had, I think it was 9 shots on the day. And of course, the miss, which we'll get onto, which was a bit, I mean, let's not get it mistaken. It was a massive chance and a massive sitter that he knows he should have scored. And he tweeted after the game saying, we must do better. And it's like, well, yeah, we must do, because I think in these games you need to be scoring your big chances. I think that's something that we've said in the past, that Liverpool, if Liverpool get the early goal, we're usually all right, because we can build on it. The confidence then begins to flow a little bit more, and you could see good signs from the beginning. Like Núñez, of course, after scoring the beauty against Bournemouth, he was getting into positions, he was chasing after stuff, he was having a few of those shots, that ones that he did score and made the keeper make a few saves. And the one that kind of sticks out for me is the one where Trent plays a lovely ball in, and he makes that run from left to right, and he kind of, he makes good connection, it hits the bar. And it's like, when you're watching these chances and you're excited that stuff's happening, and Liverpool are making stuff happen, Núñez is making stuff happen, when they keep not going in, you then start to think, Luton are then going to get a bit of confidence from this, and they're going to be like, right, it's not going to be Liverpool's day here. We can just build on this and throw 10 men behind the ball still, like you knew they were going to do, of course. Every right to do that in a game against the biggest team that they've played so far this season at home. So it was always going to be a big task for them, and it felt like a bit of a cup tie in that way, the way they were just like 10 men behind the ball and we'll spring from attack. And they had some good joy from it, especially down their left and our right. So And I was just looking at the stats for the first half. If you look at it, they had 1 shot on target. We had 3 on target and 6 off target. So we had 9 shots in that first half and didn't manage to score. And it's like when you get to half time and it's 0-0 and you're like, you need to be better. But you're also thinking, the way it's gone, those chances were still good chances that we had, but it also didn't feel like Liverpool were dominating. We had loads of the ball, but we still weren't. We weren't moving it quick enough. We were too narrow. It was certain bits that you're like, we need to change this, this and this. And you hope second half it would come, and it unfortunately didn't. But those chances, I think in the first half, I mean, it's easy with hindsight to say that, I think they kind of killed us a little bit. You needed to build on it, and Liverpool have done that well in recent past, building on from not so good first halves and coming out and being better. But I think that first half, needed to kind of set the tone and get a goal. At least 1 goal would have at least give us the confidence to then go and kill it off in the second half.
Yeah, and you know, I think from the first second, I think we controlled the game. We dominated the game, I would say. The only thing that I think is that we didn't do enough in terms of speed and letting the ball do the job, or being creative enough, or having link up play in a good way, you know, that, you know, ask the questions, because they could just stand, like we said, with 11 men behind the ball and kind of defend quite comfortably, to be honest, because we didn't manage to, you know, get runs in behind or little, you know, clever balls into space behind and stuff. We'll just have this kind of link up play between their offensive three and our midfielders like we want to see and that we need in these kind of games, because it will be so tight in the middle of the park and especially just outside their box where we were loads of the time. So I think, you know, in terms of just having the ball, playing it around, I felt in the first, you know, 10, 15 minutes that this will be okay. Like, patience and keep on going. You speed it up, keep on trying, which we did. And you mentioned Darwin Nunes there and, you know, he's finishing off from outside the box and actually asking questions for the goalkeeper. Obviously, the goalkeeper should save them, but it's still, you know, they are quite good in terms of where he finished them. Like, the power in the shots are not enough. But, you know, in terms of accuracy and where they are, it's a very good, quite, you know, bending them in that corner, so the goalkeeper needs, you know, throw himself to save them and make sure to put him out. So I like, you know, the way that he started the game. He, like you said as well, he had this one that hit the bar, so I was not so concerned about his game, to be honest. I think he was good overall. I was more concerned about, you know, we're giving him so much praise, Szoboszlai, because I think, you know, he had bad touches, he didn't link up well, he didn't play at the same level that we have seen him play since the start of the season. Ever been, you know, he's been exceptional, ever been, you know, obviously praising him and rightly so. But I think, you know, when someone like him doesn't have a good game, it kind of affects our rhythm, because he's one of our rhythm setters. Like, he's one of them who drives the ball forward, you know, get our link up play, comes for with shots from outside and asking questions as well. And I think that didn't happen. So there was... And I think Gravenberch did well as well. He had a few, you know, runs where, you know, he had a few shots. He tried to play it in behind in the areas where, in, you know, to play a through ball behind the defensive line. So I think we tried and we did enough to go and score the first goal and, you know, give us that advantage. But it's just one of them where the ball doesn't go in. And you say, like you said, the confidence for Luton starts, you know, being... increase more and more, because they know they haven't conceded, you know, when we had those chances, and they stand and defend and feel like if they keep on playing like this Liverpool and not speed it up, then it will be okay. And it's just one of them where you need that first goal, and obviously we come to situations where that goal should go in, but you know, you read loads of things on social media and you read other stuff, you know, about Darwin Nunes, and rightly so, he should, you know, be should have criticism for the chance in the second half and all that. But I think in overall, in the first half especially, I think he was, you know, involved in the game, did everything right, and I just thought it would come. I think there would be more criticism against maybe Salah, to be honest. I don't think he had a good game, and other players as well. But to be honest, in overall, I think we were doing okay to be able to go and win this. It's just circumstances that turns out, you know, obviously not the scoring, and then when they counterattack later on to score, that just turns it out to be this kind of game. So I don't think, as many said, that we actually were bad or anything. It's just one of them, but the ball doesn't go in, it starts to be more of a problem the more the time goes, obviously, because, you know, it's only 90 minutes and you have to score. So it's just one of them where it's, you know, you just want to kind of forget to move on.
Yeah, I think if we would have done this show straight after the game, I would have been a lot more like vicious on them, in terms of like, because we've come to expect a good level from these players now, because we've 11 games in now, and 10 games before obviously this one, where we've seen very good levels and people doing the right things, getting the ball forward. And it was just, I guess, when players have, I don't want to do like player ratings and all that crap, but like when players, like you mentioned, like Szoboszlai and McAllister, when Gravenberch's the only one and that I could see in the game, like getting on the ball, doing nice touches, moving inside, driving the ball forward, you want to see that from Szoboszlai as well. And of course McAllister's not his position, and then that opens up the question about the six position and people saying, oh, we need a six, and we do need a six, and that's kind of why we've been linked with Andre and stuff in January, and hopefully that does happen, because I think we do need someone who's going to be a bit more of a shit house in there and make those tackles. But I think McAllister in these type of games, I think he could do better. I think he could. I think there's times this season, I think even in the last game against Forest, I thought he was really good breaking lines with passes, and he still tries to do that, but when it doesn't work, and then he tries a couple more and they don't work, and then of course he gets the yellow card, he gets the book and the fifth of the season, so he misses Brentford. might enforce, obviously enforces that Endo might come in for that one. So we might see Endo in the Premier League on Sunday, which will, I guess, will be nice as well to see him have a chance and see what he's made of. But I think there's too many passengers in that game, and I think that's kind of what killed us. Like, you can say Liverpool were poor, but Liverpool dominated. Liverpool needs to be better with the ball, better with chances.
Exactly.
It was set up for Luton to come in and they were trying desperately to get a draw from the game, or at least get something from the game, and they did that. But I think we made it easy for them. I think that's what annoyed me the most. We made it like, we were playing at like a slow pace. We weren't being wide. We weren't getting the ball out. We weren't putting enough crosses in, quality crosses in. Because when we did do that, and like we saw in the first half, when Trent was picking up those positions, right hand side, where in a right back position, he was finding Nunes, and Nunes was making stuff happen. So it was more that we didn't carry on that good stuff. And everyone's allowed an off day, but when like, quite a few of your players, I think we've said in the past, when Liverpool have won and played well, it's like, well, who was man of the match? And you're like, it could be this fella, could be him. And this one, you're like, it's maybe three people who showed up and tried to make stuff happen. The rest were kind of, didn't seem to get going, didn't seem to be in the game, and just, yeah, became a bit of a passenger in the game. And in a game like this, where you know Luton are going to be up for it, like I said, it felt like a bit of a cup tied. Every tackle was cheered, every throw and every corner they got was cheered. So you need to combat that. And I think, yeah, it's one of them, like, it was so disappointing to only get a draw, but in the end to then get a draw is, I felt relieved in a way, because last season we lose that and we probably lose it 2-0. We go on to see the second one. So in a way, you've got to be like weirdly positive that Liverpool did come back into the game. But let's talk about the Nunes chance then, because like I said, McAllister gets the yellow card on 54th minute, so he's going to miss the Brentford game. So it does give a chance for maybe Endo to come in for the Brentford one. Of course, he still might play in the Toulouse game on Thursday. But 70th minute, especially after the way the first half went, like, but lovely ball in again by Trent. And he had a difficult game in terms of defending, because their left winger was very, very good. But in terms of him getting on the ball and making stuff happen, Trent, he was doing the right things in moments that he could. And it was a great ball in. Salah's onside. And we've just been speaking, didn't we, before we started recording, about whether he was going for a goal or did he misheader it? And then it lands at Nunes's feet, and Nunes has to score that. Like, there's no question about it. Like, that chance where it just bounces up, I guess, a little bit awkwardly, but for a Premier League footballer who's on a lot of money and is a great player, he's prone to these moments that I guess they're still going to happen for a bit longer until he gets to the point where he scores them all, hopefully at some point in the future. But that chance, I felt at that moment, 70th minute, where it's still 0-0, you're like, that was the chance to just get the goal and then just snuff them out and hopefully get another one. But it was all kind of leading to that moment, I felt, in terms of that need, that net needed to go in, really.
Yeah, you know, that's my view on it when it comes to Darwin Nunes. I think overall in the game, I think it was good. But, you know, those situations, you need to do much better. That's where the criticism will lie, you know, from me, and I think for so many others. But I don't agree with people saying, you know, he was really bad. He was bad, because he wasn't. He was good in the game. But, you know, when it comes to those situations, which is crucial, where he should score, yes, he needs to be better there. He needs to sharpen his, you know, focus in those moments and actually score them, because we know that he would come into those kind of situations quite many times, because he's one of them players who's just got the quality to know where to be. And, you know, we've seen him miss stupid chances before, you know, hitting the post or doing, you know, where you just think, like, come on, it should be a goal. And, you know, I don't going to defend him and say, you know, it's fine because he's going to score loads, because he needs to do them better. But, you know, I'm still not concerned about him. I think he should play every game. I think we're more of a threat every time he's on the pitch. He's doing things that, you know, will ask questions to the defenders and the goalkeeper. So there's no doubt about that. But, you know, obviously he should have some stick with those kind of chances that he doesn't finish them off. And, you know, with Salah, I think, you know, he's Salah, so we will never just, you know, give him a load of shit because he's been like almost like gone in a game, because I think in one way you never really didn't see him. yesterday, to be honest. He wasn't good. And I think, to be honest, he had that against Everton and Nottingham too, in one way. He hasn't really been, you know, that kind of player where having an impact in the way that we are used to, but he still scored goals and stuff, so you kind of forget about it. And I don't want to say, obviously, that means that he should be on the bench or anything, because we know that he has that impact and influence on the game that he should play all the time. It's just, you know, periods where that happens, and we just have to hopefully see it through and it will be no problem. And we talked about it before there. We start as well, you know, with Joe Gomez playing to the left. It won't be a natural left offensive like we have with Robertson or Tsimikas. So, you know, I mentioned to you that, you know, with us playing the way we do, but without, you know, when Luton sits so very tight in the middle of the park and we put then Trent into the middle as well, the way we already has Gravenberch, McAllister, Szoboszlai, and sometimes even Jota comes down deep, you know, and stuff like that. It will be very tight to try to play football. So, you know, I would have liked to see Trent actually, like you mentioned there, when he actually finds Salah and all that, go out more wide and try to, you know, come and do his little runs and have, you know, overlap run with Salah to be able to get the ball and put some crosses in even more, because that will probably, you know, wide it up a bit for us and, you know, probably hopefully create more chances as well. So I think that's a little bit on Klopp to not to use that, because when it was so tight in the middle of the park in the way they defended, it's just very hard to find space and play. And you know, with McAllister, you said, you know, he wasn't that good. I think, you know, he was okay in terms of the midfield, actually put good pressure on in moments in that game. I think we won the ball back quite many times where I felt that, yeah, come on, let's win it there and go again. But, you know, it's just sometimes obviously they played out our pressure as well, and that happens. But I think it was quite, it felt like it was a little bit more on his toes and stuff compared to other games. But, you know, it's one of them, like, where it's things are just not working properly. Like, we are okay, like I said before, but just the last pass, the finishing, the, you know, all those kind of stuff, that, like, the touches that we need in certain moments to, like, maybe have a perfect touch to lay it off to someone else, they were not there. So it was almost always, it felt like it was almost every time we had, like, the last pass, the finishing, the touch that should be, you know, laying it up for a shot or whatever. Every time we had that, it was not as good as we expect or we've been used to. So, you know, that just made it easier for Luton to defend as well. And obviously that turns out to be their little treat when it comes to, you know, counter-attacking and scoring against us.
Yeah, I think it's only, I mean, Liverpool didn't turn up in terms of, like, in terms of scoring goals. And I think that, like, we played okay, but I feel like it's only going to be all right, I guess, in the future when we play, I guess, similar teams in the future away from home and we get through it and you go, well, it wasn't just like a sign of things to come. It was just a one-off, and hopefully that's what it is. Like, Liverpool have played a lot of good teams away from home this season already and done very well, of course. And we're only 3 points off Man City after 11 games. I think you gave us that start of the season, we would have snapped your hand off, considering we didn't know how Liverpool were going to do this season at all. So the fact that we're still in a good position, this result, of course, is annoying. And when you look back at maybe the Brighton game where Gravenberch hits the bar, like, you're constantly thinking, what if that chance went in, we'd be, like, close to the top, whatever. And that's fine to, like, think about and be annoyed about. But I feel Liverpool, like, hopefully use this as, like, a, right, when this happens again, let's change it quicker, let's be quicker on the ball, etc. We've got to use it as, like, a way to learn and way to move forward, because this side, again, like we always say every week, it's still a very new side, a lot of new players in there, like we mentioned. So they still need to get up to grips with, when something like this happens, how do we react? And you wouldn't put it past Liverpool to go on, like, a decent run now and winning games. Of course, we've got Brentford in the league on Sunday, and we've got Man City after the international break. So big games coming up to hopefully start a bit of a run, and it doesn't get any harder than Man City after the international break. So that's going to be a tricky one, of course. But look, we've got to talk about the Luton goal before we get on to the good Diaz stuff. 80th minute, counter attack off one of our corners. It looks like Van Dijk headers it, it comes off like Ross Barkley's, like, armpit or whatever. They're still calling for a penalty, it seems like. They then break, and it's a decent break from Luton. It's a typical, they would have been training for that all week. Like, if one of their corners, right, if we get it, go forward as quick as we can with the pace we've got, and they score off it. And 80th minute, like we said before, like, I think last season we would have 100% lost that game. We would 100% lost it. And at that moment in time when that goes in, you feel like Liverpool are going to lose that. It's 10 minutes left, and Liverpool got enough in the tank to kind of overcome what's been a really steely defensive display by Luton, and Luton have been rightly praised for it. Liverpool needed to be better in terms of their attacking display. But was you optimistic that Liverpool would get something from the game when that goal went in?
No, because
stupid question.
Yeah, but it's just like all the signs through the game, like we already mentioned, just looked like we're not going to score here, because we did enough to score and win the game, but we're not getting the ball into the net. It's just one of them where it won't happen. And when they scored, it just felt like it probably won't happen. We will lose this because of this. Like, we had the chances, we didn't put them away, and that's it. Like, we've seen it before, like last season, obviously, many times, but sometimes I was sitting in the sofa just watching it on TV, obviously, and I was like, it's just one of them where it won't happen. Like, I've seen us had enough chances, I've seen us created enough, and, you know, to do this, even if it would just be 1 or 2 nil, like, you know, if we had one in, I'm sure we would score the second and all that, but it won't happen. And when they break and they score, I just felt like it's not enough time, even though we actually had like 8 minutes added on or whatever it was. I just felt there and then with 10 minutes till the 90th minute, like, it's not enough time for us, because we have been, you know, like I said, in the final stage where we try to finish or we try to find the last pass, we haven't been clinical enough or, you know, focused enough. So it won't happen, because it felt like we never found that in the game in general. I think, like you said, we were okay, we did dominate them, we were in control, but we were not focused enough to, you know, to raise our levels to actually go and win it, because obviously it's hard to play against 11 men just defending if you're not speeded up, being more creative, trying more things. And that was just my feeling. So, you know, when they scored, it was like, oh, fucking hell, I could have taken a fucking draw here, to be honest, because of the way that this game has, you know, turned out to be. But when they score, I'd be like, fucking hell, we need at least a point. But I didn't see that coming at that time.
Yeah, it was weird, because, like, you're hoping Liverpool are going to get a winner, and then they score, and then you're like, right, we're standing down the battle of no points here. But then we do get the equaliser, and then the game ends, and you get 1 point. But then it also does feel like a loss, because you've just... Liverpool need to be winning them games if you want to. I mean, people, I don't know why people are mental, like, mentioning like title challenges and whatever. Don't, like, Liverpool are still in a weird position now where we don't know what Liverpool are going to do. Like, I think the media may be mentioning title challenges more than we are, really. Like, if Liverpool can stay up there, and we can keep mentioning Man City like 3 points behind. Like, if you keep,
yeah, that's the thing.
With...
We're still up there, so, you know, it's not the biggest concern. It's more like we would have been in top and maybe a few points even above them, but we're still in the, you know, there's just no. I'm not concerned at the moment. It's just annoying points that we lost. But, you know, if people be like, but, you know, look at there, like you said, 3 points off. Come on, we're gonna play them.
Yeah. I mean, that's gonna be a mass one, and we've got to talk about, of course, Luis Diaz, who comes on, and first and foremost, him feeling all right to first and foremost be on the bench, then to decide, right, these lads need me at 83rd minute, I'm going to come on, and he gets a 95th minute equaliser for us. And of course then he lifts up his shirt and a nice message to about getting hopefully having his dad back home and back safe. And that moment was just, At that time, I felt a bit choked up, because I was like, it's that goal and him scoring. It just kind of didn't matter really about Liverpool. Of course, I was happy Liverpool getting a point, but I was more like happy about, like, him coming on, having the balls to come on, having the confidence, and thinking, well, I might as well come on here and see what I can do and see if I can help. And the ball by Harvey Elliott was absolutely terrific. It really was. The fact that he came on again, keeps coming off the bench and being really good again. It was a lovely ball, and Luis Diaz rises nicely on the back post, and I think it kind of comes off his shoulder, but it goes in, and it's, yeah, I'm just made up for Luis Diaz first and foremost there. And of course us getting a point was massive as well, but Luis Diaz having the confidence to come onto the field and do that was just lovely to see, weren't it?
Yeah, and I think even Alan Shearer wrote something about on Twitter, you know, that he couldn't understand that, you know, Luis Diaz could go out on the pitch and play football with the things that he's going through at the moment. But, you know, everyone is very different. Like, he's already been, you know, dealing with this for over a week. you know, first with the, you know, initial shock and, you know, horror of the things that happened, you know, and then obviously with the situation where his dad is still in, you know, in what do you call it, like captive or whatever you call it, his mom is released obviously and freed, but to deal with everyday thing that he's still, you know, in captive and they don't know really what's going on and all that kind of stuff. But maybe he comes to a point like, okay, I've gone through the initial shock and things here, but maybe I just need to try to focus on something else, and that's playing football, because it probably hopefully take my mind a bit, because you go into your professional work and you focus on something else for a certain time where you don't have to worry, maybe, because your brain might work like that. It switches off the bad stuff and it goes into your profession mode. I know I work like that as well, you know, without being too personal, but when my dad was sick and we knew that he was going to pass away, and you know all about this, I worked like half a day every day when I was around, and then I went to see him in the afternoon because I needed time to focus on something else. And I think, you know, in this situation, he probably worked the same, you know, gone through the hard stuff in the start, like I said, but then maybe you just need to focus on something that takes a bit of weight off and, you know, do something that he loves, obviously helps him to have energy as well. So everyone is different, and I'm just very pleased, you know, for him first and foremost, for being the one that comes in, that he can play football with the things going on, and he scores and obviously gives us a point. And like you say, it doesn't really matter, but it's just, it's because it's just, there are things, you know, more important than football in the end of the day. But you know, it's just a Liverpool thing that is Luis Diaz that comes on, that scores the goal, and you know, he holds up that t-shirt, everyone's, you know, around him hugging him. And obviously, like you said, when I watched it as well, I felt almost like I was, wouldn't start crying, but you know, it touched you differently, and it was a different kind of joy. Like when Liverpool score is always a joy, but it was different. And obviously, you know, getting a draw and a point from that, and him scoring the goal helping us, it's nice, you know, it's beautiful. And you know, hopefully his dad will be released and everything will go back to normal for him as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think the Alisson done like an interview after it, and he was talking about it and how happy he was. And then he mentioned about, like, of course, when the West Brom amazing header, his dad had just passed away, and he was then crying on the field, crying in the post-match interview. And that was just like, even when I watch that back now, I'm still like, it still gets me a little bit. But like he said, like, football, can you can never predict it. And it, like you said, if someone can take a bit of solace in playing the game that they love and they can take the mind off stuff, then why not? And yeah, Diaz coming up with the equaliser was just, yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll look back on that in a couple of months when we look at the table again, and we'll be like, well, thank fuck Luis Diaz was a massive influence on that game, and had the, I mean, I can't believe he was involved and stuff. I to be honest, like from my point of view, because I feel like the stuff he must have been going through was crazy, but the fact that he came on and got the goal was massive. And yeah, hopefully that situation resolves itself soon, so we can be involved even more and be like a happier man around the place, and kind of forget about all of those stuff, because he is massive to what we do. I think even a half time, I was looking at it, especially after chances we missed, and I was like, we need Diaz on. I mean, I don't know, I wasn't expecting him at all at that point, because I think 45 may be a big ask for him, but we needed his ability, because he is key to what we do, and there's a reason why he's our first choice left winger, because he asks questions all the time, and I feel like we have missed him in the games that he hasn't been around. So hopefully that's all sorts itself out and we can have him back. Again, we might as well talk about Toulouse then, because that we might as well end the Luton game on a nice point and not talk about anything else. And yeah, Toulouse on Thursday. So I mean, McAllister is going to be suspended for Brentford, so there's going to be changes anyway. But what are you thinking in terms of that? Because of course we're going to do another show, a bigger show before the game, but I think again there'll probably be loads of changes for this one away from home.
Yeah, and you know, and rightly so, you know, with Ben Doak being back, and you know, with Kunsa and all the youngsters that we have that can come in and do a job. And depending now, you know, with, like you said, McAllister being suspended for Brentford, maybe, you know, we play with him and save Endo for that game, depending how we, you know, start the games. Like, you know, see if Curtis Jones is fit to play, if he's involved against Toulouse, or if we save him for the Premier League game on the Sunday. So, you know, yeah, I expect changes, but, you know, and I expect us for, you know, to being that close to being, you know, to make sure that we go through from the group, I think, you know, we should have our obviously focus on that game to do it, but I think the focus of being fit and ready for Brentford is key here, because that's the last game before the international break, and after that, that's Man City. You know, it will be a massive home game on Sunday against Brentford because of the points we lost yesterday, to be honest. You know, because obviously we won a point in one way because of the way that, you know, the game turned out to be, but you know what I mean, like, we got the point, and when we come back to Anfield next Sunday, play Brentford at home, I think, you know, that's a key game for us to get 3 points, and from there then, you know, be able to kick off again against Man City after the international break to actually just have those 3 points, because if we lose points there, you know, that's something that will be a concern when you know you're going to play City away, because that will be a really tough one. So I expect loads of changes against Toulouse, and we still can do the job, hopefully. Would you probably need a point or whatever it is to be, you know, be ready to go through to the next rounds and all that. So that's my take on that, and then obviously we do another show to talk about it more in more detail.
Yeah, I think the players, like Elliot played like what, half an hour, Gakpo played half an hour, Tsimikas only played half an hour, yeah, Endo didn't get on, Mata didn't get on, Doak didn't get on, Quanta didn't get on, so there's a load of players that will be fresh and ready for Thursday, but like you said, Sunday became a little bit bigger because of the events of yesterday, where Liverpool need to then go, right, we're back at home, let's batter Brentford as much as we can,
yeah,
put on a proper performance, and then of course another international break, which is just like, at this point it's just ridiculous, it's every, feels like every three games we have an international break. It's just so annoying, because it just disrupts it. But Liverpool can get a decent win, and then of course, like you said, City on 12:30 kickoff, of course, the Sixers were back is another massive one. So yeah, there's loads of games coming up that Liverpool need to, and I think in a good way, there's plenty of games where Liverpool can just like get that one out of your system, because there's nothing worse than having a gap between like yesterday, and then we didn't play for a week. It'd feel like a very long week where you're thinking about the next Liverpool game, you want to just play another game to get out of your system. So hopefully Thursday with a load of changes and a bit of renewed energy, we can go again on that one. So yeah, fingers crossed, but we shall leave it there. We've probably moaned quite a lot there, but there was a lot to moan about, unfortunately, about yesterday's game, but we of course try and have a positive spin on things, because I don't see the point in constantly being negative, because there's social media is already filled with that. So what's the point
we had this game, it was not good, but you know, I would have been more concerned if Luton was dominating us and we didn't, you know, turn up, we didn't create chances, and we've been having a good start, and you know, considering we had, like you mentioned as well, a new midfield, you know, all that kind of stuff, I'm very positive to the way we have started this season. The way we play football, you know, it's exciting, and we got great players, young players, hungry players. And, you know, it's a, like Liverpool and Klopp have said, you know, the Liverpool, you know, 2.0, you know, to mention that, you know, the new version of it. So, like you said, we can moan and we can give criticism, which is, you know, fair enough and rightly so when we need to. But at the same time, this season have started well. So in terms of it all, you know, it's a positive thing. We had one of them games. We just have to, like you say, get it out of the system and move on and go again. You know, even if, you know, kind of hate that kind of go again saying, but it is what we do. Like, if you have those kind of moments, just, you know, just tell the moment to fuck off, go again, and that's it. Because if we would have started this season as we played last season in my majority of the time, I would have been concerned, but that's not the case. So let's be positive. Let's look forward to it. Let's stand behind the boys. And I'm really looking forward to what we can do going forward.
Yeah, because the table, just quickly, like, of course, Arsenal got beaten. Another VAR controversy, of course. It's not a game of footy if there's none of that. So Arsenal got beaten. We're level on points with them. Same goal difference in basically joint third place. Tottenham play tonight against Chelsea. They're on 26, and then City, of course, on 27. So, yeah, 3 points behind City, but we could be... Well, we're 2 points behind Spurs. We could be 5 behind Spurs if Spurs win. Hopefully Chelsea can... I mean, I never really want to say I hope Chelsea get a draw or whatever, because that's not the type of person I am in terms of wanting Chelsea to do anything. But if they can, then crack on. But Liverpool, again, in a good position. We could be better, could be worse, but we're in a decent position going into, like we said, a couple of run of games here, and then going into the City game. So there's plenty of footy to look forward to, and Liverpool have, like you said, there's a load of good signs. A few bad signs yesterday, but a lot of good signs that Liverpool I've got enough quality and enough players with enough balls and mentality to kind of get through what was yesterday's game and build on it and use it as a platform to write, let's never play as sloppy as that again this season. Let's build on it. So there's hopefully some good stuff coming up for Liverpool. But yeah, we shall leave it there. Thanks as always to Christian for jumping on. Therapy session, of course, after Liverpool don't win games. I guess should maybe save therapy sessions for when Liverpool lose games, which is hopefully not that often this season. But it always feels good to kind of get out your system and talk about why Liverpool weren't being Liverpool, fully Liverpool that we've seen this season. But yeah, as always, thanks Christian, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back very soon for a Two Lose preview show. So yeah, nice one, and we'll see you all very soon. Ta-da.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopai Podcast.
Network.